Today's gospel reading is Matthew 6, verses 1 through 18, found on page 1503 of the Pew Bible. Hear these important instructions from Jesus. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Would you please say these words with me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gospel continues. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil in your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Me. Lord God, your words are powerful. Your words are true. Your words are life. Sometimes, though, Lord, they get crowded out. Sometimes they get shrunken, misheard, misunderstood. Help us to hear these words, which we've heard many times, with a fresh insight, a fresh power, the transforming power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to be seated. When we hear these familiar words, the challenge is that the more we hear them, the more we pray them, the more distant they become because they're so familiar. And so one of the challenges I have today is to try to help us see the power of Jesus' words. And one of the best ways to do that is to first start with the context. We take these words and we turn them into a nice, kind of sweet, kind of personal manifesto. Our Father. And it is that. That's wonderful. If it brings comfort to your heart, good. But it's so much bigger than that. It's so much deeper and so much more comprehensive and profound. Jesus is actually taking everything that's true about the Old Testament and summarizing them in the Sermon on the Mount. Then he's taking the whole Sermon on the Mount and summarizing that and saying, here's a portable technology for you to remember everything that I've said. It's a prayer, which if you say it just a few times, you can memorize it. And if you live this way, it will change the world. Let me help you understand. If you go back to the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, it says this, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Now, in that crowd was every political group, every ethnic persuasion, young and old, fat and tall and short and skinny and rich and poor, Romans and Greco-Romans and some of the Jewish people that were siding with the Romans and some of the Jewish people that hated the Romans and everybody in between, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, everybody's represented. And they're all listening to his words because he's teaching with an authority, with a spirit, with a way, with an attitude that they'd never heard before. Let me read to you how it ends. The end of the Sermon on the Mount goes like this. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed. When Jesus had finished teaching these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. He spoke as if what he said mattered. And he spoke in the context of other people who had the power in society, who they thought their words mattered. And Jesus stood up and said, I don't know what these guys have been telling you, but you better listen to me because this matters. Now, there are Roman legionnaires who are listening in to make sure there's no treasonous words in what he says. There are temple police listening in to make sure that they don't have to go back to Jerusalem and report back, hey, you better watch this guy. He's causing problems up north in Galilee. No, he was not just a spiritual teacher that was teaching nice, comforting things. He is giving them a manifesto that would challenge every person who's listening. He basically takes everybody and says, you've all got it wrong. All the pagans, all the people who go in Jerusalem and pray in these ways, your religious leaders, the Romans, the Greco-Romans, everybody, you've got it wrong. That's pretty drastic. If I walked in here and said, everybody in here, you're all wrong and I'm right, what would you think? That's essentially what Jesus is saying. Because he names names. He says, don't be like those guys. Don't be like those guys. You see, when Jesus calls people hypocrites, he's using a Greek word that comes from Greek theater. Because in Greek theater, you'd wear a mask to play whatever role. Now I'm playing the doctor. Now I'm playing the villain. Now I'm playing the hero. Now I'm playing the poor victim again. Now I'm playing the hero again. And Jesus is saying, you know what? I'm sick and tired of looking at all your masks. I don't want to look at your religious masks. I don't want to look at the pagans' religious masks. I want to see you for who you really are. Because God, he sees right through this mask. So let's get real. Let's talk about what's really going on. And so Jesus isn't letting anyone off the hook. A second challenge that we have is when I walk in here, it gets more and more challenging for me to preach out of this book. Here's why. Because it uses words like refugee. It uses economic words like debt, like tax. It uses political words like power and authority. Matter of fact, I can barely turn a page without it touching on something that's spinning around in our culture like crazy. And so I walk in and say that word, and someone says, Pastor Glenn, be careful. And I say, well, hold on, I'll skip to the next page, see if there's something a little safer on the next page. Oh, no, there it is again. Oh, wait. Oh, no, now he's talking about sin. No, there it is again. Now he's talking about the abuse of power. No, there it is again. Now he's talking about justice. No, he's back to talking about refugees again. And every single time I crack open the page, the Bible is talking about issues that are real, that are circulating in our world. And I'm going to try to be like Jesus, not take a side, because all the sides get wrong. What Jesus wants us to know is, first and foremost, if you are not connected to the heart of God, if that's not your starting place, everything else gets skewed. If you start out here on all the issues and then come back and try to get to the heart of God, you're going to miss. But if you start with the heart of God and then move out towards the issues, you will begin to hear what Jesus is saying. And he is saying something here that is actually subversive. It's overturning the status quo on every area. As Jesus is going through this sermon, people are going, did you hear what he just said? Did he just call us hypocrites? Did he just tell us to put down our mask? Who is this guy? Did he just tell us to forgive our enemies? Our enemies are right there up on the hillside. You mean that guy? The guy with the spear and the shield and the sword, that guy? Surely he can't mean that guy. You mean don't pray like that? Well, that's my rabbi. What do you mean don't pray like him? Jesus is stirring things up, friends. Let me back up one further step. Jesus' prayer really summarizes it all when it says in the beginning, this is kind of the centerpiece of the Sermon on the Mount and the centerpiece of everything that Jesus ever teaches. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. He's not standing on the hillside saying, hey guys, God's really cool. His name's kind of neat, don't you think? He says, Our Father, who's in heaven, holy is your name. And two things we learn from that. Key word, our. This is collective. This is a group. We're all in on it. He doesn't say, oh, by the way, you Romans are out. He doesn't say, you Pharisees, you're out, but the Sadducees are in. He says, our Father. Even you Greek folks who don't know the Father, you've got your own masks. They're called Zeus and Mars and Apollos. You pray to your own gods. Guess what? Those gods are nothing because there's one Lord, and he is the Father, and he's good. Oh, he's so good, but he's holy. And he is the sovereign Lord over all things. Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Friends, kingdom is a political word. It's an economic word. It's a governmental word. It's a power word. It's an authority word. And Jesus says in front of all these people, holy God, bring your kingdom with its policies here. Bring your kingdom justice here. Bring your kingdom compassion here on this hillside and out there in Naperville and wherever. Bring your kingdom here. Just the way it is in heaven, bring it here. That's crazy. That's radical. That's subversive. Every Roman legionnaire was about to go, hey, wait a second. He just said there's somebody higher than Caesar. Okay, I'm taking notes now. He just said that there's another kingdom out there somewhere and he wants it to be here? Wait a second, we already got a kingdom. It's called the Kingdom of Rome. Jesus is getting in trouble right now. This is the beginning of his warrant for arrest. It's starting to be written by all the people who are going, wait a second. And he's angering everyone and upsetting everyone. And yet somehow there's something compelling about him because at the end they say he teaches like no one I've ever heard before. There's something about him. I mean, he just told me that I've been wearing a mask and I can't stop listening to his words. What is it about this guy? What is it about his tenderness and his authenticity and the love that just seems to scream out from every pore of his body that even though he's looking me in the face, telling me I need to change, I can't get enough of his words? That's Jesus. Let me just share with you, Jesus isn't just talking about a quiet moment in our heart when he prays this. He is saying, Lord God, King of heaven and King of earth, usher in the flourishing of all creation. The Apostle Paul says, all creation groans. Every bird, every fish, every horse, every farm animal, every plant, every mountain, every river, every stream is waiting for the Son of God to be revealed in all his glory. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, when Jesus is done bringing his kingdom here to earth and he returns the kingdom to the Father, then all things will end. That's Jesus saying, when I have authority over all things, I compartmentalize my life. There are places where I say, Jesus, you know, you stay out of my politics. You stay out of my bedroom. You stay out of my parenting. You stay out of how I plan my finances. You just stay with me in church, okay, Jesus? And when I need comfort, you come with me there. Oh, when small group, I'm going to small group this Thursday. Come there. That'd be a good place for you to show up. And Jesus is saying, no, I don't know those categories. I don't know those walls. I don't know a spiritual life and a secular life. I know life. I know life. So for me, it begins with a practice of saying these words outside of the context here. Every time I go to another place, when I'm with a client, I don't say this out loud. I start before the meeting starts and I say, Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your will be done in this conference room as it is in heaven. When I go visit someone in the hospital, our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your will be done in the oncologist's office as it is in heaven. That's what Jesus is saying. When I go diving, every time I get to the bottom, our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your will be done down here in the depths. Well, this is what it looks like. Check that out. That bluegill like beef jerky. That was a week ago. A Hague Quarry in Kankakee. Everyone in here who's a fisherman is going, Pastor Glenn, where's that fishing spot? They don't allow fishermen there. It's just for divers, which is kind of cool. And I get to the bottom and I say, Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come and let the earth flourish as you intended it to be. Let all creation flourish. Let the bluegill flourish. Let the people flourish, Lord. Thank you for giving me this life, for this very next breath that I'm going to take, for the privilege of jumping in this water which you created. Lord God Almighty, thank you. See, we have to take this prayer and live it out. We have to take these teachings, and it's safe in here, friends. It's safe in here. Is anybody going to get mad later when we say the Lord's Prayer? Is anybody going to say, hey, stop saying that here? Of course not. But if you try to live it out, if you try to live out these Beatitudes, this blessed are you when you are persecuted, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those who are pure in heart, you got to take it out of here to the world out there. But Jesus is saying, when you do, don't get all puffed up and say, I am now being religious. Look at me. See how holy I am? He's saying, no, hide it. Hide it. Let it be demonstrated in your actions and your words and your kindness and your tenderness. Let it be demonstrated in the way you live out your calling as a sales manager or a retired golfer or a stay-at-home mom or a project manager or a healthcare worker or a pastor or a politician. Let it be worked out. Be the salt. You know, all those things that he's saying, he's summarizing it here in this prayer. And it's really powerful. Sometimes this prayer for me is also one that carries me along. Do you know that there are days when I don't feel like praying? See, it would be hypocritical for me to stand up here and make it look like I always get this right. That'd be the very thing Jesus is telling me not to do. I better not do it. I don't always get this right. I don't always want to pray. Sometimes I pray and I say, hello, is anybody listening? It's really how I feel. And other days I pray and I think, oh, I feel so close to God. And it's kind of in between. And that's why Jesus gives it to us. And it's an us kind of prayer. So sometimes I come in here and I don't say the prayer. I just close my eyes and I listen and I hear you saying, Our Father. And I let your prayer carry me. Did you know that? That's what this is about. Being a community of people who live out and demonstrate and then come together around the truths of this prayer and challenge one another and comfort one another, strengthen one another, sharpen one another. Father in heaven, holy is your name. And then it's all about us, us, us. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation. This is a community. This isn't just a personal devotional, although it can be used for that, of course. This is a community prayer where we together are being formed into an alternate community so that people can look in and say, I see the community of people out there. I see that political group. I see that economic group. I see that school district. I see that way of life. Those are all cool. But look at the way these people live. What is this kingdom of God thing all about? That's why at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, people said, man, he teaches different. If what he says is true, if these people live that way, I want to be part of that. And it's powerful. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. The extent of Jesus' kingdom knows no end. But we live in a time when the kingdom is already here, but not yet in its fullness. So it's not here. The kingdom of earth certainly doesn't always reflect the kingdom of heaven. But we are the advance agents. We are the spies that have been sent into enemy territory to say, I think we can gain some ground here. I think we can bring some justice and some compassion and some truth. I think we can bring the kingdom here, 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 and here. So this week I was meeting with a group of people who will be traveling with me in 4 weeks to go down to Honduras. And I'm excited to go down to Honduras. I love going down there, not because it's all the stuff that I get to do for them, although that is profound. But I need to go to Honduras, and I need to go to Guatemala and places like that so I can see what's in my heart. Because it is a very different world. And when I listen to the news, and then I get on a plane and I actually go to the country where many of the people in the news are coming from, it at least colors in my reality in a different way. When I get off the plane and a 16-year-old woman with her 2-year-old at her hand tries to hand me a baby wrapped in a towel because she's got no money and she's got nowhere to go and she's been kicked out by her gangbanger husband, and she's got nowhere to go, and she tries to give me her baby to take care of her baby. I understand something of the despair that people have that would motivate them to move towards another border. I don't have all the easy answers, but Jesus says, put a face on it. This is about people. Look around this crowd of people on this mountainside, because everybody I'm talking about is included here. How are you going to be the kingdom of God? How are you going to bring that reality? And I have to tell people that are going on a mission trip with me, we are first and foremost going as followers of Jesus, not as Americans. There's nothing wrong with being an American, except you're going to go to places where people have seen America through different lenses, some of them not always good. So we need to make sure that we go and say, I'm here as your brother, as your sister. In Jesus' name, how can I serve? How can I help? Because what binds us then is to hear a whole Latino community saying our Father in Spanish. And you realize all of a sudden, wait, what separates us is so much smaller than what unites us. Someone was yelling at me the other day, asking me, how in the world can those Christians support the current president? I said, this is how. And I played this audio clip for him. That's a group of Korean women, about 100 feet that way in our room 110, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, praying during a certain summit in Singapore between our president and the leader of North Korea. And those women, they just want some peace in their homeland because some of them haven't seen family members who are stuck up north for years and years and years. And they know all the problems and they all know all the challenges. But in that room that day, they were saying, Lord God Almighty, thy will be done in Korea as it is in heaven. And they see one glimmer of hope. That's how. And you see, I'm not saying any one of these people is right or wrong. I'm saying Jesus is giving a technology that goes behind the scenes and says there are hopes, there are powers, there are fears, there are movements that are bigger than any of the faces that represent the different factions. And I am telling you, we are creating a different reality called the kingdom of God. And it comes with a different power, a different set of values, a different set of relationships. And friends, I pastor 5,000 people who come from the whole spectrum. And I'm telling you, draw closer to the table and closer to the cross first. Because Jesus is offering us a subversive prayer, he says. No matter what's swirling around in your world, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But he also makes it very practical. Lord, I need some bread today. I need a job. I need some income. I need to feed my family. And Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow and the next week and the year after. Just pray this prayer. Lord, today, give me what I need today. He brings us into a focus where he says, focus on God's power in front of you today. That's the reality. So in this kingdom, you know that my daughter lost her husband 6 months ago, moved back with me, and so now I have 4 grandsons, 2.5, 6, 9, and 11, living in my house. Oh my gosh, it's chaos from 5:30 in the morning till, well, somewhere as close to 9 o'clock as I can get them all in bed. And it's just crazy and chaos and energy and, oh man. But people in this community have helped with the daily bread part to the point where people have signed up to give meals all the way through end of July. Like, I got meals coming through the end of July. I'm like, really? You're kidding. No, people have signed up. That's the daily bread part. You see what I'm saying? This breaks down all those labels and all those categories. We are in this together. I may have opinions about some of these things, but together we get around that table. Together we come to the foot of the cross and we say, first and foremost, Lord God, forgive me for my hypocrisy. And then I get together with you and we wrestle with issues and we pray this prayer together. It's not easy. Today I need some daily bread. So in the last week, 2 people have donated bikes. So 2 of my grandsons were out this week tooling around on their bikes. That's daily bread stuff, friends. This is real stuff. That's what Jesus is talking about. And I happen to know both of those people, and they come from different spectrums. If they both met each other, they would say, oh, really? You're part of this church? Yeah, you're part of this church. Wonderful. That's the way Jesus rolls. And then, Lord God, please protect me from the evil one. Don't let me get caught up in temptation. Don't let me get stuck in a test that's too hard. You see, at the end, he brings it all around to you and I and what's in my heart, because it's real easy for me to grab hold of any one particular issue and think that I've got it all fixed and that I'm pure and I'm pure in heart and I'm going to come after this thing. And Jesus is saying, be careful, because the evil one will suck you in. So the end of the prayer is, Lord God, you the Holy One, watch me in my life. Watch me, because these things are so easy to put on. I've got a bunch of them. And Jesus is saying, no, be careful of that, because the evil one can sneak around your mask. So another good example is, what if I talk about drugs and addiction and mental health and say, oh, those people, and don't share with you that all my life I have wrestled with depression and anxiety and still wrestle with it, and that's okay. And I have an addictive personality, and I need to wrestle with that, or I can get caught up in some really bad stuff. This white robe does not protect me from evil and temptation. The Spirit of the living God does. Your accountability does. Your prayers do. See, that's what Jesus is talking about. Living a full, authentic, real life in community with other people who are different than you, but gathered around the same prayer, the same cross, the same table, learning to challenge one another. Because he ends that way. He says this, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others your sins, your Father will not forgive yours. I don't know how to theologically spin that. It sounds pretty straight up. Be a forgiving person. You want God's forgiveness? Then you forgive. Well, he didn't say it would be easy. But remember, he's saying this to people who have stuff that's happened to them by other people sitting on the mountainside. And they're looking around saying, you mean you want me to forgive those guys? Yep, that would be a good starting place. Wow. This is a real prayer, friends. And then he brings it back around. When you fast, don't look somber as the hypocrites do. They disfigure their faces. But when you fast, put on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So in your prayer and action guide today, we're going to end this way with a challenge to you. Here's a little guide to fasting. This Friday, we're challenging everyone in the Good Shepherd community. Give up lunch. Maybe eat a late breakfast and an early supper, and then a snack after supper and a snack before. I don't care how you do it. Try it. Just fast lunch. And then there's some scripture readings there and some ways to pray. But don't tell anybody. Don't put it on Facebook. Don't put it anywhere that anybody else can see. Just do it. But use that time. Maybe take your lunch hour. Don't eat. Have a little water. And just go in the conference room at work or something, or go for a walk. Say, Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. Show me, Lord, where am I being a hypocrite? Show me where I need to reach out to others. Show me where I need to bring forgiveness. Show me where somebody else needs daily bread and I can contribute. Show me, Lord, how to be a living example of your kingdom on this earth. Show me, Lord. And that's what we're going to do this Friday. So to end, we're going to pray and we're going to sing. I'm going to lead you in a little responsive prayer. We're going to sing together. Then there's a liturgy of prayer. We're going to do this. We're going to pray this. We're going to sing this. And we're going to finish the message this way. Because this is just the middle portion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, so I can't really end it if he didn't end it. There's more to come. But what I want to say to you is this. This is a challenge to every single one of us to take this prayer and live it out. To take this prayer and put feet on it and hands on it and do something with it. Get up next to people who are different than you and learn to talk and think and pray together at the foot of the cross around the table of Jesus Christ, because he's building a new community. It's called the Kingdom of Heaven. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you will live longer in that kingdom than any other kingdom that you live in. So it's good to kind of get used to it. Let's sing. Prayer, O Lord, hear my prayer. When I call, answer me. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. Come and listen to me. O Prince of Peace, from peace that is no peace, from the grip of all that is evil, from a violent righteousness, from paralysis of will, from lies and misnaming, from terror of truth, from hardness of heart, from trading in slaughter, from the worship of death. Oh Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. When I call, answer me. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. Come. by the folly of your gospel, by your choosing our flesh, by your nakedness and pain, by your weeping over the city, by your refusal of the sword, by your facing of horror, by your bursting from the tomb, by your coming in judgment, by your longing for peace. Grant us peace. Amen.